I can see patterns. I can understand things. I can help them think about things a little bit differently. And real estate is a little different, but it's also very similar because you're fundamentally trying to understand, is this going to work out? And what does that look like? What does that landscape look like today? What does it look like in a five-year exit? Like, it's not that dissimilar in terms of your vetting a vision of something that's to come.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, thanks so much for being here. Welcome back to the next episode of Passive Income Unlocked.
Thank you so much for coming back to the show today. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Adipia De Errico on our show. Adipia, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation and really glad you asked me to come on.
Awesome. So everybody, Adipia De Errico is a principal and the VP of strategy at Alpha Investing, a real estate private equity firm, which offers multifamily, senior housing, and affordable housing commercial real estate opportunities to its network of private capital investors. She is a respected fintech entrepreneur and real estate investment executive known for her role in launching the estate crowdfunding industry into the mainstream. Adipia is sought for her expertise in entrepreneurship, leadership, and capital raising. She's passionate about empowerment from spiritual to financial. Her book, Productive Intuition, Connecting to the Subtle, empowers you to integrate intuition with intellect and connect to your own inner authority to create more meaningful opportunities, achievements, and results. Well, her book is awesome. For everyone who hasn't checked it out, I definitely recommend checking it out. It's amazing. Adipia, thank you so much for being here. I'd love for you to take us back in time and tell us a bit about how you got your start in the real estate space.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So this actually goes back almost 8 years now, which is, it's just incredible to say. I was just talking to my business partner, talking about how it's been 3 years I've been with Alpha and time just seems to fly. But I actually got my start in late 2013 when I joined one of the very, very first real estate crowdfunding platforms. And actually at that time, real estate crowdfunding was just getting started. I mean, it was a new thing. The Jobs Act had just been signed into law by President Obama in 2012. And there was a plethora of entrepreneurs and founders and businesses that really the Jobs Act was meant to help raise capital to help fund businesses. So kind of democratizing venture capital or angel investing and bringing it to more people to present more lucrative opportunities. And the equity side, so business funding, that would take a while, but real estate really took off. And I kind of saw that. And when I joined one of the very, very early firms, I was employee number one. So I was essentially like a founder. There were three people I joined. We became a market leader. It was in the hard money space. And that gave me my intro to real estate investing. Up until that point, I had a background in financial planning, investments, hedge funds, and also just entrepreneurship. I had started my own company working with creators, actually. And at that point, it was artists. And that's how I actually got into crowdfunding to begin with, because I was raising capital in a way through Kickstarter, Indiegogo campaigns. So when crowdfunding became a thing, this idea that you could turn your fans into shareholders made a lot of sense to me. And I ended up jumping in. I just had a really strong, like my intuition was really strong about real estate crowdfunding. So that was it. And that launched me into a whole new industry, into fintech, just a brand, kind of like a brand new career. And I've never looked back.
Wow. That's very interesting. So you went from working with artists, were you helping them fund their projects?
Yes, I was doing brand development and I was actually working with large consumer product companies, helping them develop franchises and brands and using marketing and using the internet because, and the relationship with that is that the reason the Jobs Act and Reg 506C, which is the regulation that allows you to publicly solicit for your deals, that was the brand new thing, was Reg C, 506C, sorry, of Reg D, is that up until that point, if you had a private investment, you weren't allowed to talk about it publicly, period. You could talk about your company, but you can't talk about your deal because that would be solicitation. That's illegal. But because of the internet, your website is a big old marketing dashboard. It's kind of like a big like highway sign, except it's online. So the SEC had to regulate that. So they created Rule 506C and everybody was using the internet. Like social media had been a thing that I started working with in 2008 when like Facebook got big and Twitter and everything. So it all kind of like jammed, mashed up together. And what the crowdfunding companies did is we used the internet and we used basically like behavioral marketing to engage with potential investors. And it turns out that there was a huge appetite for more lucrative investment opportunities and people really got into real estate and it's really accelerated. I mean, the amount of people that have gotten into real estate investing, whether it's through crowdfunding or other means, because it really took the whole real estate investment industry to a new level. It's incredible like how many people are interested in it, which is wonderful. There are great opportunities that nobody really knows about. I mean, I didn't get taught about real estate when I was taking my CFP and my securities courses. Like it's really like it's, and anecdotally, we all know that real estate is the way to build wealth. And yet up until like, you know, 2013 onward, it was not accessible to most people.
Yeah, there's just so much there. So many really good points. I'm curious, just as you were talking about your background as a financial planner and not necessarily needing to know about real estate in that space and how you now present real estate, like how would you present these transactions to your, you know, maybe clients that you had when you were a financial planner?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. Like if you're an advisor or a planner, like you don't really talk to your clients about private placements. You know, everything, it's far more regulated. So you're really not in that space. That's why private equity exists. And that's what I do at Alpha Investing. It's private equity. So like people that we're speaking with have a general understanding. They have the capital available because it really is for accredited investors. So like also sophisticated investors. I mean, when you invest at the level that Alpha works with, you know, it's not crowdfunding. It's not $5,000 at a time. Like it's significant amounts of money because you're building significant wealth. It's a different type of an industry. And it's like anything that's traditional financial planning or advisory, there are a few advisors that understand private placements and they might talk about it, but really there's so much regulation in that space that it's really not worth it for them. It's way more work than working with what they know and what's regulated and what they're allowed to talk about. There's a lot more liability and risk
for them. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess it seems like tell me if what you're saying is accurate is that if you have a financial planner, if someone has a financial planner, they probably can't expect to really learn about investing in private placements from their financial planner.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. And so
they can ask them about them. Like you can ask for some advice. What do you think here and there? But understand, nothing against financial planners at all or advisors, because then there's also different types of advisors, but there's no knowledge, there's no training there unless they're personally interested.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You're better off finding a CPA, a tax accountant that understands real estate investing and having a conversation with your CPA about it, or, you know, even like legal counsel.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And so coming from that background, I mean, you spoke to this a bit before, but could you expand on what's appealing about the real estate space for you?
Yeah, it was really, again, like it's one of those moments. I'm very visionary. Like I've always been able to understand when something is going to be a big thing. And I can't tell you exactly how, it's just how I interpret information. I was doing intellectual property development scouting for some of the big consumer brands before real estate crowdfunding, because I always have my radar on for what's new and what's interesting and like what could be a big thing. And what made sense to me was this growing movement of people interacting online. which I'd been experiencing for years. And this movement, especially in the entertainment space around engaging with your fans, right? And even in the crypto space today, you could say there's a fan base behind Bitcoin or behind like Cardano or whatever it is. Like there's a community around it and that community is engaged. So that's one piece of it. And the other piece was everybody knows real estate is the way to build wealth. Like it seems trite, but it was like, wait a second, everybody knows this is the way. Everyone knows that the most successful investors and the people who have built their wealth, they own a ton of real estate. So the ability to make that kind of potential investment available to more people was really exciting to me. Like I got really excited. And I know when I get excited about something, it's something that I just have to look into more because if I'm excited about it, then it's interesting and I like to do interesting things.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for giving us that. I mean, back to the beginning of the interview, just that overview of how relatively new it is for people to be able to invest in these types of really attractive offerings that can really help them grow and build their wealth. And, you know, you've been talking about this idea of engaging with your fans, both, you know, back to when you were doing Kickstarter for artists. Can you speak to how you use that particular kind of idea in real estate?
Yeah, put simply, it's content marketing. And to break that further down, it's really providing valuable informational and like educational content because most people don't know when they start what all the different options are with real estate, like what the tax implications are. Like it's so much. Like even for me, and I had a background in finance and investing, like still today, there's things that take me a minute to really understand because it's complex. It's really complex, which is why you want to work with professionals who know what they're doing because of the complexity of it. It's a lot of moving parts. So you have to engage with people. You have to earn their trust. It's very much about your reputation, but you earn their trust by being helpful. Like, you know, a lot of private investments were country club. It was behind closed doors. It was very shadowy. And so what the Jobs Act and the internet and everything that happened there is it brought a lot of light. It brought a ton of transparency and it brought a lot of questions. So you have to be able to answer those questions and you have to be willing to answer those questions to engage with somebody if you want them to invest with you. It's really important. So it really comes down to, if you will, content marketing, brand development, your reputation, and fundamentally earning somebody's trust because you're earning their hard-earned money and they shouldn't just throw it into anything, you know, which kind of goes into how you present information and being really honest and being conservative in your approach. And because it's really easy to sell when the market is going up, when everything is really great, but you have to be able to talk about what the risks are, what the downside is, and really make sure that the person on the other end understands what those risks are. Because if and when something doesn't go exactly according to plan, the last thing you want is for them to feel like I got duped, like you took advantage of me. And so all of that can be preempted at the front end. So it's less about sales. Like I never think about it as sales and more about presenting an opportunity that could be a good fit for them if they can understand it to the degree that they're comfortable with everything that is to come.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Just thinking about myself, I sometimes get caught up in talking about the exciting points of a deal because sometimes it's also like in order to get people to act, there has to be some kind of emotional excitement component. How do you balance those two?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, lux-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Well, for us, especially with Alpha, like we'll always have an introductory call with somebody to understand if they're a good fit for the way we do things. So we're not like an open network. We don't just take anybody. You have to make sure that we're talking to people who really understand what we're doing, who already understand the risks. Like if somebody called us up and said, like, I only want to invest in your highest, like our deals or whatever, like that's not somebody we actually would let into the network. You know, they pose a risk to everybody in our community as well. So it really comes down to just having the conversation. That doesn't mean that you can't have questions. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, we have tons of people who invest with us that don't know anything about real estate, but they want to understand it and they want to have the conversations. And the most important thing is that they really understand those risks. And it's like telling them straight up what those risks are and then going from there. And it's not like you talk to somebody and then they invest the next day. It could take, you know, months, and that's fine. It's totally fine. But everything, you know, the old rule, invest in what you know, is a true rule. It doesn't mean that just because you don't know something today, you can't ever invest in it. It just means you got to put in some work, even though, like, for example, what we do is passive to the investor. In any passive investment, there is or should be a lot of front-loaded work on understanding what you're investing in.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's risks and then there's ways to mitigate those risks. And probably, I imagine that's part of the conversation too. It's like, well, we know that this is in front of us and this is how we've mitigated this risk. So your book is about intuition, among many other things. And how does that play into how your capital raising has evolved over the years?
Oh, what a great question. It fundamentally for me comes down to an acceptance of who I am and what my nature is, because we grow up being told be one way. And like, especially in business, especially if you're a high achiever, it's like, use your brain, use your analytical mind, use your reasoning, use your logic. Like, it's like very one-sided. It's very one-minded. And in reality, we are all things. We're emotional, we're physical, we're intuitive. Like so many people have a trust their gut moment, or they say, oh, my spidey sense told me this. And like, if you actually start to listen to people talk, they're talking about their intuition all the time, but they might not really say that they are, because it's not really something that's like, you're allowed to say that. But as you know, in the book, like, yes, it's about intuition, but more than that, it's about learning how to trust yourself and trusting all of the different kinds of intelligence that we have. Like, intuition is a form of intelligence. It's transcendent. We have emotional intelligence. Our body is extremely intelligent. And then, yeah. And then you have the right brain and the left brain. And really it's about accepting those parts of yourself. And that helps you trust yourself. It helps you find inner authority. So you're not always like, oh, what will this person think? And maybe I should do this like that. And like giving your power away to an external authority. It's helped me be more of myself. And fundamentally in capital raising, it's a relationship-based business. So if I can be myself, then I have a better chance of authentically relating to somebody else. And that's all this is about. Because I would rather be a real person and they know I'm a real person, instead of expecting like a sales call and a salesperson who puts on the facade and tells them all the deal points. And like, we don't even talk about deals until like way later. I mean, I want to make sure that you understand who I am, who my firm is, how we operate. But in an older life, you know, before I really got in touch with that, it would have been like, okay, I have to sell you. I have to make sure that you know all the deal points. And that would come across in a way that the other person could probably read, I don't know, desperation or, oh, she's selling me, you know? So that's a really practical way that it's helped me.
For sure. Yeah. That's really awesome. And do you ever think about real estate and how that kind of, do you ever miss like working with artists and stuff? Are you able to kind of combine the two? I mean, cause it's, to me, they feel like somewhat different worlds.
Yeah. They're completely different worlds. Yeah. I've had like such a zigzag career, but everything that I learned working in that with that, because I love artistry. Like, I sometimes think about like a musician and I think it's magic that somebody could make music. Like, I don't understand. That's not how my brain works, you know? And it is different. It's for sure different. But one of the things I did when I was working with artists is I helped them make money. Mm-hmm. I broke through those paradigms that they were told artists can't make money. You can't monetize your art. You can't, you know, and I was like, no, F that. You can totally make money off your art. Like, here's how you do it. And we did it. And so then in a way it's similar when I started working in crowdfunding, because it was this new idea. It was like a new frontier. It was like, oh, let's make this work. Let's make it work. Which is why, like, you know, I'll also like advise startups and companies on like visionary things or just like getting into it with them, because I can see patterns. I can understand things. I can help them think about things a little bit differently. And real estate is a little different, but it's also very similar, because you're fundamentally trying to understand, is this going to work out? And what does that look like? What does that landscape look like today? What does it look like in a five-year exit? Like, it's not that dissimilar in terms of your vetting a vision of something that's to come. So that's how I think it's the same, even though one thing might be like a multifamily building and the other thing, you know, might be a gallery show in New York, but some of the mechanisms are the same.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I know spirituality is a big, you know, is a component in your life. And is that sort of integrated into your real estate world, would you say?
It is, because it's integrated in who I am. And so it just kind of is fundamentally like, it just helps me show up again, sort of like really authentically. Like, it's a part of my life and I don't hide it. It's a part of who I am. Like, anyone who's on like my LinkedIn or follows me anywhere knows me, knows about that, and knows how committed I am to a meditation practice, to a contemplative practice, to, and also like, there's so much science that backs it up. And like, you can parallel that into the whole mindset movement, really. And it's all there. And everyone's trying to find, I think it's almost like a form of inner peace, where I'm like comfortable with myself, where I know who I am, like I know why I'm here. And that way, anything that I do is a choice that I'm making willingly, as opposed to I should do this because society tells me that I should do it. So fundamentally, it's an embodied, it's very embodied. It's very much about understanding myself so that I can refine everything that I'm doing to have a more fulfilling life. That's how I think about it.
Awesome. Sort of on along those same lines, when you think about real estate, I mean, we know that real estate is one of the greatest wealth building mechanisms in our society. What are the other things that you love about real estate?
I think what I really like about it is that it gives you, well, there's tax benefits, to be really practical. I mean, especially if you're investing on the equity side, like you get a lot of tax benefits because it's easy to make money, but you also lose it in taxes. So there's like, so there's a lot of things. So it's really understanding that. I think what's interesting to me, because I like patterns and I like trends and things like that, is understanding the economics. And because real estate falls within a category where you want to understand economic drivers, it always keeps me into what is going on economically, like what is happening in the world. So it feels like I'm connected way more than like investing in the stock market, because it is disconnected. It's a little bit of a different beast. But that's how I think about it. And you can understand, especially if you really get to know an area where you're investing, like this is an up and coming area. Like these jobs are being created here. Like this is changing here. Like the demographics are changing. And like, it's almost like you can participate in the flourishing of a community or a city. And again, you kind of like see where this is going. And that's really exciting to me, because as investors, bottom line, especially if we're investing in senior housing or affordable housing also, and multifamily, depending on the asset class, but you have an opportunity to make life better for somebody as an investor. Like you can make money, you can also do good, and you can change somebody's life by being a good investor, by working with a good operator, right? Like not a slumlord. Like you want to work with people who care, because real estate is a people business too. We don't necessarily think about it that way when we're analyzing all the numbers, but you actually have an opportunity to participate in community redevelopment. Like there's things like that make it more human. And I think that's a really important piece of investing, and especially investing in something meaningful, which more and more people are looking for today. I mean, it's not exactly ESG investing or like, you know, impact investing per se, but you can make an impact on someone's life. And that's really important and exciting to me.
Awesome. Totally. And just one more question before we start to wrap up, but you know, there's perhaps like a somewhat outdated idea, and I just want to get your take on this. Some listeners may be familiar with this, but spirituality being kind of like at odds with wealth building. And Just want to get your unique take on that today.
Oh, wow. Oh my God, such a good question. So yeah, I struggled with this when I woke up, like I had just like a big awakening. And when that happened a few years ago, I basically threw myself into a puddle of shame around going into a financial career. And I made everything about myself wrong because all of the narratives around guilt and shame and wealth and bad people and evil people, and that was all there already. And it really kind of came forward for me that I had to examine. And where I landed is in a much healthier place with it, which is why I kind of came back into the business world and I came back into investing because I can do more good from inside the system than from outside the system, at least for how like I like to operate. And where I've landed is it's all about your intention. So if you have a selfish intention about money or about buying an ice cream cone, that's going to be your experience. If you have a good intention, if you understand that the object per se isn't the thing, it's your intention about how you use it or acquire it or what it means to you, the meaning you give something, that changes everything. Like I know for me, in as much as I am ambitious and I love doing what I do, I love investing. I love making money. Like it's fun. Like I think it's really interesting. It's so much fun, but I don't do it because I think that that makes me happy. I do it because it makes me happy to raise capital from investors that I know are going to get a good return and it's going to be a good investment. And the people that are going to live in that building are going to live a good life. And like, we just did something really good. And like everybody makes money and like everybody benefits. And also, you can't get out of the system. We have a system based on money, and it's crazy talk to think that you can survive without it. I mean, like, I don't know how, unless you totally abdicate. And it's not my intention to, because I like this life. Not everything's perfect about the world or about people or about society. Like, but in my little way, I can at least make sure that the way I approach everything that I do is with the intention of doing it with a lot of meaning and a lot of mindfulness. And so that's where I've landed with it. And that makes me feel okay with it. And also realizing the negative thoughts are just thoughts. They don't mean anything unless you put emotion and belief behind them. So if anybody's kind of struggling with that, I would say like, ask yourself, like, who put that thought in there? Like, is it mine? Do I really believe it? Why do I believe it? And start to see if you can kind of peel it away slowly and sort of like kind of peel it off. And eventually you might land on a place where you can also say like, I allow myself to have it. It's okay. Like I deserve it if that's a word that resonates, but like, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of narratives that might say it, but at its core, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing a bit of your personal journey with that. I mean, it sounds like that kind of happened in the middle of you working in this whole crowdfunding world. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. And, you know, it's something that's alive for me, but I mean, I've, you know, done work around it and I just appreciate hearing your perspective on it. So thank you so much, Adipia, for coming on. You are just such a bright light and an inspiration. Would you please share how the listeners can get in touch with you or anything else you'd like to share with them?
Yeah, thanks, Suja. So I think if anybody wants to get a hold of me, the fastest and easiest way is to go on LinkedIn and DM me and just let me know like who you are, how, you know, I was like, I heard you on Suja's podcast and just let me know. That way I have some contacts. If you want to know more about my book, there's productiveintuition.com just to learn a little bit more about it, or you can buy it on Amazon. But anybody who wants to reach out and talk about investing or their story or pretty much anything, I'm happy to engage anytime.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all take a moment to reach out to Adipia. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com. for tons of free educational content to further your success.